Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. To join us on the air, just dial toll-free 1-888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just log on to our website at www.equip.org. Now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And a couple of comments before we go right to your questions. And by the way, your question on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. The first comment revolves around a letter that I got from a man named Jimmy. I want to share that letter with you because it's tangible evidence for how a ministry like this impacts lives on a daily basis. This is heartrending. Jimmy writes, "Hi, Hank. I want to say if it hadn't been for you and the Bible Answer Man radio broadcast on XM 170, I would not be alive today to write you this letter. I was listening to your broadcast a while back when a caller was about to take his own life. Hank, I too have had these feelings. And on that day especially had those feelings. Listening to you tell the caller that our lives are not our own to take, that they belong to God, is what I needed to hear. And so I begged God to help me. And at that moment, it was as though I could hear a voice telling me to listen to what you had to say. I do listen to you, Hank. I know that you are a chosen messenger from God. I have sometimes said that while listening to you on the radio, this man is not of this world, he is sent from God. No one I have ever listened to anywhere explains the Bible more clearly than you. I have said, what would the world be like without men and women like yourself sent from God to tell the truth of who Jesus really is? You've helped me in more ways than I could ever say in words, and for this I am eternally grateful for helping to turn my life back to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Hank. I love you dearly for what you do. May God bless you and your family and your ministry." Now, just a couple of comments. One is the most obvious. Here's a man that was listening to the broadcast and as a result did not commit suicide. But more than that, I am no one special. We are all sent by God. The question is, are we going to be faithful to our gifts and calling? Because just as the Lord used me as an instrument of His grace through this broadcast, God can use you as an instrument of His grace in the life of another person. And then I want to say this. For every commendation, for every compliment, with every thank you that I get from people like Jimmy, my thanks goes back to those that support this ministry. Because we would not have a public forum, an opportunity to reach people like Jimmy, without people like you. You are the facilitator. You give us the opportunity to be an instrument of the grace of God in the lives of millions of people on a daily basis. Now, not everything we say in this broadcast is politically correct. I remember when Paul Crouch of the Trinity Broadcasting Network said, "If God doesn't kill you, I will." Because we were speaking out against false teachers in the faith movement. I still remember that day clearly because I had spoken out against Earl Polk. Of course, Earl Polk had a huge church. It was called the Cathedral at Chapel Hill. in Decatur, Georgia. And at the time, he had some 10,000 members. And people were saying that this is an anointed man of God. And I criticized him because he said, just as cats have kittens and dogs have puppies, so God has little gods. And then overtly talked about the fact that we have the very same nature as God. We're not reflections of God's communicable attributes, but we are reproductions of God, ontologically equal to God, the same in nature as our Creator. So dogs beget puppies, gods beget little gods with the same nature as God. And so I spoke out against that. And for that, the wrath of many evangelicals came down on my head. Well, let's fast forward from 1993 to the present. We're now in 2009. Earl Polk is dead. And now his church is being sold. And his nephew, he was raised as Earl Polk's nephew at least, in reality was Earl Polk's son by an affair he had with his brother's wife, now leads this church. And he embraces universalism. He affirms the gay lifestyle, and last year said that the church's evolving mission was to be radically inclusive. Now, these aren't my words. This is Charisma Magazine itself and their news briefs talking about Earl Polk. Now, I've never talked about his morals or his ethics, and I'm not going to start now. But I will say this, ideas have consequences. And the false teachings of Earl Polk have led literally thousands of people astray. And I knew many of them because I used to live in Georgia. And it is because of false teachings that they destroy the lives of people that we speak out against false doctrine. I just did a radio broadcast on another series of stations about an hour ago, and I talked about the reality that if people dispense physical cyanide, even if it's in a great product, the prudent thing to do is to warn against the product that has the cyanide in it, like was true with the Tylenol scare many years ago. The product was identified and taken off the shelf. But today, people are dispensing spiritual cyanide by the megadose. And for some odd reason, we're told not to identify them. Again, I'm not talking about the morals or ethics. I'm talking about doctrines that have huge consequences in the lives of real people. Like the man that called me on this broadcast this year and told me that his mother had died as a result of denying symptoms because she was taught by her pastor that symptoms, in her case it was a lump in the breast, are ploys of the devil designed to steal our guaranteed wellness. And so she denied the symptoms until her breast became a weeping sore, and she died. Ideas have consequences. Or Joel Osteen, who's telling people that faith is a force and words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith you create your own reality. So what you say is what you get, which is just repackaged New Thought metaphysics for Christian consumption. Sounds strikingly like Rhonda Byrne with her bestseller, The Secret, saying that the law of attraction is the secret to the universe. In fact, it opens the catalog of the universe. So if you think the right thoughts, you will get what you want. If you think wrong thoughts, you're going to attract the dark side of the force. And so she and her contributors talk about people that have done just that. The Jews brought the Holocaust on themselves by their thoughts. Jessica Lunsford was raped and murdered because of her thoughts, which attracted this horror to herself. Now, we're usually not told about the dark underbelly of the theology, but there always is one. That's why I wrote Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, because today the teachers that had small platforms, if you want to call a 10,000-seat auditorium small, or a 6,000-seat auditorium with 10,000 members small, and today you have Joel Osteen makes Earl Polk look small by comparison, but his teachings, beware of that smile, are just as deadly. Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. If you haven't read it, it's a must. It's available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. 100% of the proceeds go to forwarding this ministry and its cause concept. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Daniel in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Daniel.
Yeah, how you doing, Hank?
I'm well.
Good talking to you once again.
Thank you.
All right. Just going back to your monologue, I remember that caller with the person who wanted to commit suicide, and I was thinking along the lines, you know, when you was witnessing to him and basically comforting him, you know, you were such a wonderful example and inspiration for us to, you know, how we can use our time and our talents and treasures for the glory of God. And, you know, as we just give ourselves to God more and more, we can have a lasting impact in the world for eternity, you know, not by might, nor by power, by His Spirit.
Yes, thank you.
I wanted to ask you, I need your assistance in something. I called you a couple of months ago, a while back, about my pastor and my church. They're following Bob Larson's quote-unquote theology of deliverance. And in our Sunday school class this Sunday, he used a particular text in Luke chapter 13 from verses 10 through about 12, 10 through 12. And I gave him some of your materials. And to be honest, I'm not sure if he actually read through it all. But he took one of the quotes that you had from your book, The Covering, basically how demons cannot interact with us in a physical sense. Now, I've read your book, The Covering, so I know that your thoughts on this is that this is a healing and not exactly a deliverance. But the thing that has me stumbled right now is where I see where it says the person has been crippled by a spirit. If this is a healing, how can I help, or how could I explain where it says crippled by a spirit?
Sure, but the same passage also says that the Pharisees or the teachers of the law were indignant because Jesus had healed the crippled woman. The passage lacks all the common features of an exorcism. Jesus addresses the woman. He doesn't address a demon. Satan doesn't speak through the crippled woman, but she's silent until Jesus heals her. And not only that, but Luke and the synagogue ruler refer to what happens specifically, as I said, as a healing and not as an exorcism. Now, certainly, God can use the world, the flesh, and the devil to tempt us. In other words, God can use, as the author of all things, Satan as an agent of temptation in our lives. We are called to resist that temptation. We are called to put on the full armor of God so that we can stand against temptation. But the temptation is always lurking at the door. And the temptation is a test. Are you going to do it God's way? Or are you going to follow the dictates of your own will? And by the way, this passage in no way validates Bob Larson or anything that he is teaching. And the reason it doesn't validate Bob Larson is this crippled woman, though she's called a daughter of Abraham, doesn't mean that she's a believer. Zacchaeus, before he became a believer, was called a son of Abraham. Or the fact that you're in a synagogue does not mean that you're a believer in Jesus Christ. The Pharisees spent time in the synagogue. So this does not validate the premise that Christians can be demon-possessed. More of that, of course, in my book, The Covering, available through the Christian Research Institute. Be right back.
Hank Hanegraaff, Chuck Colson, and William Lane Craig headline a host of the nation's top speakers and leaders at the National Conference on Christian Apologetics in Charlotte, North Carolina, November 13th and 14th. Thousands gather from around the nation and world to learn how to defend their faith and equip their congregations. The conference also includes a debate between Dinesh D'Souza and the atheist Christopher Hitchens and a special youth apologetics tract too. For more details, go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank will return with more of the program right after this.
One of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us now to pray." And he said to them,
"When you pray, say, 'Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth.'"
The Lord's Prayer. We can rattle it off by heart. But at the same time, how many of us now struggle in our prayer life, searching for an intimate fellowship with God?
As human beings, we want instant success, instant formulas, but God wants something else. He wants intimate fellowship.
Begin your personal, fulfilling prayer life with the Lord. Get your copy of The Prayer of Jesus by Hank Hanegraaff. Call the Christian Research Institute and order The Prayer of Jesus, 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You'll also find it on our website. Just go to www.equip.org.
Can there be any greater joy than to commune in the secret place with the living God?
The Mormon Church has a very wholesome appearance, so much so that many evangelicals ask, "Are Mormons Christians? Is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints just another denomination of Christianity?" Hank Hanegraaff answers these questions in his new booklet, The Mormon Mirage, Seeing Through the Illusion of Mainstream Mormonism. Mormon prophets invite persons seeking truth to scrutinize their claims. Joseph Fielding Smith said that Mormon founder Joseph Smith was either a prophet of God, divinely called, properly appointed and commissioned, or he was one of the biggest frauds the world has ever seen. There is no middle ground. Find out the truth of Mormon teachings about God, Jesus, and eternal life compared to historic Christianity when you get your copy of The Mormon Mirage by Hank Hanegraaff right now for a gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute when you call toll-free at 888-7000-CRI or order online at www.equip.org.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
The
Bible Answer Man is here to provide the answers that people are looking for because truth matters. Many listeners and Christian leaders have told us of the importance of these answers, like Rick Warren of Saddleback Church.
I love that passage in 1 Corinthians 14 where it says, "And prophecy is good for edification, exhortation, and comfort." And if that's what real prophecy is, it's for edification, exhortation, and comfort, then this radio program is a prophetic ministry. Because as I define it, edification is it builds up, exhortation is it fires up, and comfort is it holds up. And every time I get on the radio and I listen to Hank, I know I'm either going to be built up, I'm going to be fired up, or I'm going to be held up. And that's what genuine prophecy is.
The reality is, it simply takes resources to do the unique job that the Christian Research Institute does every day. So we're asking for your financial and prayerful participation. If you can make a special gift to the Christian Research Institute or join the Bible Answer Man support team, the CRI Fellowship, or the President's Council, contact us right now toll-free at 888-7000-274. Or go to our secure website at www.equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Before we go back to our callers, and by the way, your call when you is answered when you dial 888 to ask Hank, you can get your call on the air. Want to say just a few words about the word of promise. I wish I had promotional material in front of me to be able to describe it to you in the most apt way imaginable, but let me just give you my best rendition. We now have not only the New Testament, but the Old Testament. And it is audio theater for the mind. It's available in 11 MP3 discs. It's also available in CDs, and when you get the package, it's like a piece of furniture. It is a dramatized version of the Bible, sound effects. You have people actually dramatically presenting the words of Scripture, whether it be the words of God or the words of Jesus or the words of Abraham or Moses. It is the most stunning Bible I have ever encountered. In fact, I listen to it every single day when I am in my car. So I'm not listening to the radio. I'm listening to the Word of Promise. And right now we have it available to you, free shipping, when you order by calling 888-7000-CRI or when you order on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also just write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. If you want to get the Word of God into you and get the Word of God available to your family members and your friends, start listening to this product. It is absolutely incredible. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Dick. He's listening on the web in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Dick.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good. First, I just want to say that I was thinking back to your introduction there, and the fellow that had written in was talking about how you'd had helped him, and you said, you know, anybody can learn to do that. And I would just like to attest to that, that I have grown so much from listening to you over the last 15 years, and so I just really appreciate that.
Thank you.
My question is that I'd read your book, Apocalypse Code, and am in tune pretty much with it. Still have a few little rough spots there. But I was thinking about where you talked about in Revelation in chapter 1, where it talks about must soon take place and because the time is near, and referring to things that are going to be in the immediate future, not the distant future. And then when I get over into Revelation 22, there also talks about soon and near. And that's, you know, in the section there where it's talking about the new heavens and the new earth. And so I'm kind of trying to make sense out of that. Can you help me with that?
Yeah, I can. And let me first say that when Jesus says that a looming apocalypse is going to take place soon, or that the time is near, it is contrary to decency to contend that his words are meant to convey an event that's going to take place in the far future.
Right.
In other words, it is an inconceivable, unconscionable abuse of language to say that the words soon and near mean 2,000 years hence or in a faraway epoch of time, or to suggest that our Lord Jesus Christ is grammatically challenged, that when he wants to say something's going to happen in the far future, that somehow or other he's only stuck with those words soon and near. So he just can't say far future. Jesus Christ is not grammatically challenged in the least. But within the context of your question, I think that it's important to realize that a significant feature of predictive prophecy that's ignored by many Christians is that the biblical prophets regularly associate promises of eternal peace, of redemption, and even as in the case of Revelation, judgment, they associate these things with near future events. And if you want to see how true that is, read the Old Testament prophets. For example, in Isaiah, Isaiah talks about near future judgment that's going to happen against Assyria. I believe it's Isaiah chapter 11. He talks about this near future judgment of Assyria, and he associates this with ultimate vindication for true Israel in the final future. In fact, he talks about the time when the wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, and the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. So in the same way that the Old Testament prophets take a near future event and associate it with the eschaton, Jesus does that in the book of Revelation. So when Jesus says, "Behold, I'm coming soon," he is talking about his coming in judgment on the nation that cried, "Crucify him, crucify him, his blood be on us and our children." He's talking about his prophecy that the temple and Jerusalem are going to be destroyed within a generation, something that's going to happen in the near future, and therefore he can be tested as a true prophet of God. But that judgment ensures consummate vindication in the resurrection, in the second coming on the last day. The kinds of things talked about in the book of Revelation, in Revelation 21 and 22, when we see a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for a husband, and a voice talking about the time that God himself will dwell with us and wipe every tear from our eyes. So the near future judgment is associated with eternal vindication in the eschaton. So in that sense, the eschaton moves with blinding speed from the final future towards the fore future, such that vindication in the final future and vindication in the fore future are virtually indistinguishable, because that's the thought in the mind of the prophet. You know, when Assyria is going to be judged, that's an apocalyptic event. It seems like the end of the world, the day of the Lord. But it's associated with the ultimate day of vindication, when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord. So that's the way the Old Testament prophets spoke. Jesus, the heir to the linguistic riches of the Old Testament prophets and a greater theologian than them all, uses their words, and he applies it now to the coming judgment that will be experienced by the seven churches in the province of Asia.
Kind of the what you said before about a final consummation language for a near future event.
Yeah, exactly.
That sort of concept. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and the practice of the prophets is not to take the near future event and associate it with another, event in the far future, such that the destruction of the temple in AD 70 isn't associated with the destruction of some other temple. No, it is associated with the eschaton, the day in which God puts all things to right.
Yeah. Okay, well, that helps me. That helps me. I just still struggle with that concept a little bit, but I do appreciate what you had to say about
it. Well, what you want to do to get over the struggle with the concept is actually read the Old Testament prophets and see how they speak. So you can see so many examples, like the day of the Lord is coming, a day of vengeance and cruel destruction, and then the prophet will talk about the sun and its constellations not giving its light, and the moon being darkened, and the stars falling from the sky, and the like. Well, we know that in the Old Testament, that prophecy is associated with the fall of Babylon, a near-future event. So in the book of Revelation, we see the same thing in Revelation chapter 6 when the Lamb opens the seal, the sixth seal, and we have the same kinds of things happen, the same language used. So if that language is used with respect to a near-future event in the Old Testament, one would presume that it is logical to think that that same language is used with respect to a near-future event in the book of Revelation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm with you.
Hey, good question. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Hank. God bless.
You got it. And of course, the point here in response to Dick's question is learning to read the Bible for all it's worth. In other words, there's an art and science to biblical interpretation. It's a science in that certain rules apply. And I go over those rules in my book, The Apocalypse Code. It's an art in that the more you apply the rules, the better you get at it. And the result is something absolutely glorious and intoxicating. It is that the Bible opens up like a fragrant flower. And we can experience the Bible in all of its effulgence, all of its fullness and beauty and glory. But tonight, I'm going to be watching the Panthers play the Cowboys on Monday Night Football. Now, my friend Stephen, who I work with closely, doesn't know much about the rules of football. So when he watches it, he's not going to get what's going on. He's protesting in the background, of course. I'm going to, on the contrary, be able to watch it and know exactly what's going on because I know the rules of football. Well, in the same sense, if you know how to read the Bible for all it's worth, you're going to get a whole lot more out of it than if you don't know how to read the Bible for all it's worth. So why not, in the illustration with respect to football, learn the rules of football if you're going to watch football anyway. And if you're going to read the Bible, why not know the art and science of biblical interpretation? The Apocalypse Code is available to teach you to do just that. You can take a look at it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more of your questions in just a moment. Please don't touch that dial.
Now available for the first time, the entire Word of Promise Bible in dramatic audio theater with an all-star cast featuring Jim Caviezel as Jesus, John Voight as Abraham, Richard Dreyfuss as Moses, Kimberly Williams-Paisley as Mary, Stacy Keach as Paul, and Louis Gossett Jr. as John. This world-class audio production immerses listeners in the dramatic reality of the Scriptures as never before, with an original music score by composer Stefano Minetti, feature film quality sound effects, and the work of over 500 actors. The Word of Promise includes an interactive behind-the-scenes DVD that includes actor interviews, worship resources, and a fascinating look at how dramatic audio theater is produced. Obtain the entire Word of Promise Bible or either the Old Testament or New Testament separately. Available in either audio CD or MP3. Pre-order today and get free shipping. Call 888-7000-274 or go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll return with more of Hank and the Bible Answer Man right after this.
It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition. When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information, information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Don't miss our cover story on famed capitalist and atheistic philosopher Ayn Rand. Our practical apologetics feature article, Equipping the Next Generation, highlights five key factors parents can teach children in counteracting worldly philosophy and overdependence on church programs. Our effective evangelism department equips you to respond to the difficult problem of evil objection. Hank answers an attack on the reliability of the Bible by distinguished University of North Carolina professor Dr. Bart Ehrman as he answers the question, Christ's cleansing of the temple, can Mark and John be reconciled? In his Ask Hank column.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
If you appreciate the information you get from the daily broadcast of The Bible Answer Man, our website, equip.org, or our flagship publication, Christian Research Journal, please let us know. We're always encouraged by what God is doing through this ministry.
I listen to Hank every day on the way home from work, and it doesn't matter what kind of a day I've had. I just find that he helps me in my relationship with the Lord, and he just helps me leave some baggage. I fall down every day, just like many Christians I know, and I find it a great help. Thanks ever so much, and keep up the good work.
If you can make a special gift, you enter into partnership with us as we equip people from around the United States and the world to defend and declare the good news of Jesus Christ. Our outreach on this radio station is made possible through the financial donations and prayerful support of listeners like you. So as you feel led, we would love to have you help us and join the work God is doing through the ministry of CRI. To get in touch with the Christian Research Institute, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI. We're also online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And now let's get back to the Bible Answer Man and our host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And again, before we go to our callers, a word about the Word of Promise. I was trying to let you know how great it was just off the top of my head just a few moments ago, but I have some copy that's helpful in this regard as well. The entire Word of Promise Bible is in dramatic audio theater, all-star cast, featuring Jim Caviezel as Jesus, John Voight as Abraham, Richard Dreyfuss as Moses, Stacy Keach is Paul. Louis Gossett Jr. is John. It's a world-class audio production, and it will immerse you in the dramatic reality of the Scriptures as never before. It has an original musical score, feature film quality sound effects, and over 650 voices. You can obtain the entire Word of Promise Bible. It's available for the first time as an entire Bible because the Old Testament just finished, and it's available in either CD or MP3. And if you order today, free shipping. So give us a call at 888-7000-274 or go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org, and order online. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Frank. He's in El Paso, Texas, listening on KELP. Hi, Frank.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I had a question based on an answer that I heard you give earlier about demon possession on Christians. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering if you could clarify it a little bit better. I go to a church. I'm actually an associate pastor, but I'm new. I'm new to it. I haven't been doing it for that long. And so I pretty much stick to evangelizing when I preach. And I try not to teach things that I don't know because, you know, I don't want to mislead people. And I'm learning. You know, I try my best to learn as much as I can so that my, my knowledge can be there and I can teach better. But in the meantime, I'm learning a lot of new things. And I've been saved for 15 years. I was used to be an alcoholic and drug addict, and so a lot of questions come up in the church that I'm at based on this question about demonic possession and Christians. And I always try to tell them that I don't believe that a Christian can be demon possessed. But a lot of times people will come up with the question, well, how do you explain Christians who have strongholds such as pornography, Christians who haven't kicked, drug habit, things of that nature. What would be the difference between that and demon possession?
Well, Frank, you ask a very good question, and I have to say that I'm very taken by the fact that you don't want to mislead people by talking about something that you're not absolutely familiar with, or you don't know the biblical answer to, and that means you're taking very seriously the call on your life that God has placed there, that mm-hmm. you want to be faithful to that. And the danger is that when you're a pastor or you're the host of a broadcast, people start to think you know everything about everything, and that's simply not the case. The more you learn, the more you realize how little you know in the whole scope of things. So you're very correct in staying with those things that you have an assurance of, that you know are biblically and doctrinally sound. And mm-hmm. as you go forward, you're going to learn things, because certainly, as you talked about, if you're on the cutting edge of evangelism, you're going to be driven into education. People are going to ask you about drug addiction and demon possession and all the vices that you described, including pornography. Mm-hmm. So first, a commendation for what you just said. It does my heart good. Secondly, let me say this, that if you go to the Bible, you find out that the Bible makes an ironclad case against mm-hmm. Christians being demon-possessed. I'll give you one example. Matthew chapter 12, and here's where Jesus uses the illustration of a house. And he says, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and then carry off the possessions of the strong man unless he first binds the strong man or ties up that strong man?
Okay.
Well, in the case of a demon-possessed person, the strong man is obviously the devil or a demon. Uh-huh. But in a spirit-indwelt believer, the strong man is God. So the force of Christ's argument leads to the conclusion that in order for a demon to possess a believer, that demon would first have to bind the one who occupies them. Now, if you're a believer, the one who occupies you is God, so the demon would have to bind up God, which, of course, is an impossibility.
Okay.
And now,
so what would I be able to answer to those people who claim, I mean, and I see a lot of people, they're sincere, they try hard, you know, they want to serve God, but it just seems that the harder they try, their addictions seem to creep up on them and overpower them. And I've even heard where there have been pastors who have had pornography addiction. Mm-hmm. They visit the internet, things of that nature. So that's where my problem is. I don't know where the fine line is between that and the possession.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. Are they Christians? Are they saved? If they act in that manner, or what?
Yeah, it's certainly possible, because we all, as believers, face the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a matter of whether we might or we could, but the absolute reality is we do. Every day we do warfare against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And if we put on the full armor of God, we're invincible in that warfare. If we don't, we're guaranteed casualties. And that's why, and here's a passage you should become real familiar with, Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Mm-hmm. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes."
Okay.
So we have to put on the full armor of God. Well, what does that mean? We have to put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and take up the shield of faith and the like, so we can be prepared against the devil's scheme, so that we can ward off the fiery arrows of the evil one.
Mm-hmm.
So I've written a book. It's called The Covering, and it teaches you to do that, to be vigilant and victorious in spiritual warfare. But putting on the belt of truth means that you're not led astray by a falsehood, because the falsehood would be this. So you have a guy, you're talking about the guy that, let's say hypothetically, has a problem with lust and adultery,
mm-hmm.
or maybe pornography. And so he mm-hmm. goes and he says, well, I have a demon. I'm a believer, but I have a demon. So then he goes to a Christian exorcist, and the exorcist says, I can solve your problem. We'll have a deliverance. And so he has an exorcism, and the devil supposedly comes out, or a demon comes out, and now he thinks, I'm free of the problem. Well, in reality, he really isn't free of the problem. And in fact, the way this becomes very intoxicating to people is you're told not only that you're going to be free of the problem, but you're going to have the attendant benefit that you're not morally culpable for the problem. You can say, the devil made me do it. So you can,
but
the real issue is you have to war against your own human carnal nature, your sin nature. And the way you mm-hmm. do that is by putting on the belt of truth. If you know the difference between truth and fiction, you can start dealing with the real problem rather than dealing with some kind of phantom problem.
Exactly. And I don't want to take too much of your time. Just one more thing, because a lot of people will tell me, well, if there are people in that condition, then they say they were never really saved to begin with. Well, I mean, at what point do you become saved? I mean, that's what I tell them. How do you know? Did you see yourself become saved? The Bible says that as soon as you confess the Lord, as confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you make the decision to turn away from your sin and repent and follow him, the Bible says that salvation becomes part of your life.
Yes.
So it's not something that you have to wait 3 weeks for to happen, or a month or 2 months. It happens the moment you repent and you turn away from your sin and you follow him. So how can you tell me that these people were never saved just because they're acting that way?
Yeah, that's
the part that I struggle with a lot of these questions, because here in El Paso, I mean, we have a lot of poverty, a lot of drug addiction. I mean, more so than a lot of other towns, and I don't know if you know of what's happening across the border in Juarez, with all the killings, all the drug wars and everything, and it spills over to here. So we have a lot of people. The churches are filled with people, more so than a lot of other places, that have these types of behavior.
Yeah, and the thing is, you've said it so well, Frank. If you become a believer, you are willing for Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of your life, which is to say you repent, you make a U-turn on the road of life, and you say, God, I'm following you. I want my life to be pleasing to you. But the fact of the matter is, while at that time you're born again, it does not mean that you do not struggle against the sin nature. I love the illustration. I've used it many times in the broadcast. It's Luther's illustration saying that we're snow-covered dung, so that we are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, but we are yet sinners, and we war with that sin nature. And so, obviously, the one who saves us sanctifies us, so he changes us, but it's a process. And that process is never done until the day you die, and then you're glorified. Then what you are in position now, you will be in practice there. But that is in the future. It's not in the present. So you and I are going to struggle against the powerful lure of sin, just as the Apostle Paul did. And the way to overcome is by learning to put on the full armor of God. Now, I've written a book on this. It's called The Covering. Easy to read and digest. I'll send it to you as my gift, Frank. Hang on. I'll get it out to you right away. For everybody else, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. There are many of you hanging on. I'm going to stay right here for the next hour. If you're hanging on, I'll get to your call. If you're dialing in, I'll try to get your call. The number to call, as always, to get your question on air is 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. Do remember, this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. We have an enormous mountain to climb financially. We need your help. If you can make a special gift right now to keep this broadcast on your station, it would be deeply appreciated. Just go to the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can give there in a safe, secure fashion online. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Don't miss the Bible Answer Man now on television. You can watch Hank Hanegraaff answering questions from the Bible Answer Man broadcast on the NRB Network on DirecTV Channel 378 every Wednesday night from 9 to 10 p.m. That's The Bible Answer Man on DirecTV Channel 378, Wednesdays from 9 to 10 p.m. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what he promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.